Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Certainly seems like Nick Saban has been enjoying his second act from being a part of ESPN and on College Game Day, having a lot of fun every Saturday. He also joined the Pivot podcast recently with Ryan Clark, Channing Crowder, and Fred Taylor. And during the podcast, well, Saban, kind of pulling back some of the layers here, he revealed the biggest regret he has when it comes to his coaching career.
When I left LSU, that was probably professionally the biggest mistake that I ever made. Not because we didn't have success in Miami, because I enjoyed coaching in Miami, but I found out in that experience that I like coaching in college better because you could develop players personally, academically, athletically, and all that a little more than in pro ball.
I've been sent this clip a lot, and I think that, you know, a lot of people kind of focus on the LSU part of it. I just personally focus on the college football part. And I've had this conversation personally with Nick myself. You know, back when I was going through, you know, a number of surgeries and things like that, and he was always, you know, he got very frustrated, I think, with doctors and all of the red tape surrounding personnel decisions in Miami. And, you know, the story's been out there numerous times about him trying to bring in Drew Brees. Essentially, the doctors telling him no, that Drew Brees' shoulder was shot, that he was not an NFL quarterback anymore. You go with Dante Culpepper and a number of other pieces, and that's frustrating for a guy like that who's so meticulous in putting a team together. So I hear it, and I focus on the LSU part of it, and I don't blame him. But I also don't think, and you guys tell me if I'm wrong, when you have that itch to scratch, I don't think it would have ever gone away if he had never gone to the NFL game. Like, I think eventually he would have gone there either way. If it wasn't that year and it wasn't the Dolphins, I think something else would have come back around and he would have said, oh, you know, let me try this out. Let me at least dip my toe in the water.
Yeah, that was like kind of a challenge for him. You know, he was a DC in Cleveland with Belichick.
Yep.
During those years. He had done that. He goes to college. He conquers that, wins a national title. It seemed like. And that was also, I feel like back then there was a run for about 5 to 7 years where all these college coaches said, well, I can do it in the NFL. Remember Spurrier did it. You remember Petrino tried to do it. There was other guys that tried to do it and did, you know, Pete Carroll did it.
I was going to say successfully, Pete Carroll did it. Yeah.
Well, and the weird thing about Pete Carroll, and people forget, I think a lot of people grew up not even realizing Pete Carroll had been the coach at the Patriots and been the coach at the Jets.
Yeah.
And I think every year he was like 8-8, it felt like. And then he went to USC. And when he was hired at USC, it was looked at as a lazy, uninspiring, bad hire. And then all he did Dude, I remember everybody was like, why in the hell would you hire Pete Carroll to run USC? Because USC was and has been for a long time. It's kind of a legendary program. All the Heisman trophies and stuff that they've had out there. And you go, Pete Carroll? And then he went and just destroyed. Now, one of their titles got stripped. But, you know, he knew the here and there, but that was the kind of deal. So I agree with you. I think he eventually would have went to the NFL, and then the last 20 years of college athletics looks completely and maybe the NFL looked completely different.
Yeah, and I think you know, and I agree with you. Right there in the mid 2000s, there was a hyper focus on it because I think a lot of people did it. But I mean, you go back to the Jimmy Johnsons of the world, Barry Switzer, all the way, you know, recently like Urban Meyer. Like, there's been a number of coaches that have tried to make the transition. Some have, some haven't, and some fall flat on their face. And I think it's all about being able to relate to the players in a lot of different ways. And the guys that don't, I don't think it goes well.
I don't really think it was much different for Barry Switzer. I mean, he was paying the players at Oklahoma. You know, they were getting paid, and did the Cowboys.
Somewhere out there, there's a joke about every single one of these people.
I'm going to tell you something. Have you ever talked to Barry Switzer? You ever been around him?
Yeah, I've actually interviewed him before.
He is wild.
He is.
And Arch's
he was eating a sandwich during the interview.
Dude.
he was smacking in the phone.
When I was still producing, I was producing Arch's show, and I had text him, and he just called me. And he's like, "Who's the show for again?" I said, "Dave Archer." "Iowa State." I go, "Yeah." He goes, "Yeah, I'll do it for him." And Arch told me the story. He was like, "Yeah, one time we played Oklahoma, and we walk out for the coin toss, and Switzer came out for the coin toss, not his players."
What?
He went out there. It's Arch's story. I don't want to butcher it.
He's like,
"Good luck, boys," or something like that. "You're going to need it."
Have y'all ever seen anything like that?
No. But Switzer was he was different, man. And college football was different. That was when they were trying to get a raps on cheating, but everybody knew it was happening. You know, Herschel Walker's Firebird, and that was in the 80s, the SMU stuff.
Deal, yeah.
So yeah, some would say there wasn't much different in coaching Oklahoma and the Cowboys for Switzer.
Yeah, the landscape for college football has certainly changed a lot. Saban gave his thoughts on that, but he also talked about how he felt during his final year of coaching.
I honestly felt at the end of the year, like, "You're going to kill yourself doing this." I really did feel that way. So, and it wasn't name, image, and likeness. It wasn't the changes of college football. It wasn't the players. I no issues with any of that. I just really felt like if you keep working like this, you're going to kill yourself. And I can only do it one way. All right. It's like some people don't work as hard. Some people don't stay until late at night. But that's how I learned how to do it. That's the only way I know how to do it. But once you get a little older, it gets harder to do it that way. I'll bet you if you asked me that question and I wasn't involved in sports, ESPN, game day, doing the draft, I'd probably say maybe. But doing this, I'm still involved in ball, and I like it, and it gives me something to do. I don't think I'd be happy if I didn't have something to do.
I don't want to tell someone that I think they're lying about how they feel, but I feel like he's leaving some out there. I think he doesn't want to come off as critical of NIL and the portal, but I think it absolutely had something to do with it. And what I mean by that is I want to get your take, Mike, because I know you know him better than anybody in this room. But because of those things, he had to work longer hours, put in more to continue to do it the way that he says he wants to do it, which I know he has his own way. Therefore, I think it absolutely added to it. I don't think he wants to admit it because he doesn't want to blame it and say he couldn't handle it or just maybe take away and look like he looks bitter of what the game has become. But I think it changed his hours and extended them. So therefore, I absolutely think it has something to do with it.
Well, I don't think not only that, but I think it changed his relationships. Right, I mean, when you look at what NIL, and he might not have a problem, and I don't know if he does or doesn't. You're probably right. There's probably something back in there. Even if he doesn't have a problem with the players getting money or the players being able to transfer, he probably hated how it had to happen, because what you're doing is you are bringing in transfer guys, and the transfer guys aren't coming on official visits, not all the time. A lot of times, the transfer guys are, you know, going through their agent, and their agent is shopping around trying to find the best offer and trying to find the most money. And it goes from a situation where Nick is meeting the players and developing a relationship with the players, because I've seen it firsthand, to I'm trying to develop a relationship with the agent so that I can make sure I get all the right guys in here. And I think that's the frustrating part probably for him. It's like, not that we have to give you money, but it's that I got to talk to your agent to make sure we're the highest bidder in order for you to get money. And I think that's kind of what he's saying, is it's, you know, kind of reading between the lines there. It's like, cool, glad you make a lot of money. You deserve it. You're a good player. Same time, I hate that I don't know you as well as I used to know people, and I got to talk to somebody else in order to get that message through to you.
Also, good on him, though, in knowing when to walk away from something when he can no longer do it the way that he wanted to do it. That's probably taxing on you, and what, he's 70, I don't even know, 72,
I believe,
or
at this
something
point,
like
yeah.
that. So at this point, yeah, good on him. And then finding that second act is huge for a lot of people, especially when you're stepping away from something. So especially a sport like football, he can still stay close in proximity to it, and it's been good for him.
And I think his wife has a lot to do with that. I really, really do. I know that there's been a lot talked about in their relationship, but I think she has been kind of not just a rock, but almost like a little, like a something to bounce stuff off of and say, this is what you need to do. Yeah. I think Nick Saban is looked at as a guy that doesn't listen to a lot of people because he's always seems to be ahead of everybody. But I think he listens to her, and I think she was probably like that. No, you gotta get out.
Have you ever heard that story of when he comes home for the national championship? His hometown was throwing a parade. And he tells this all the time, and it's hilarious. His hometown's throwing a parade, and they pass by a car dealership, and it's owned by one of her ex-boyfriends. And he points at it, and he looks at her, and they're, like, riding on the back of the Corvette or something like that. And he points at it, and he goes, look, if you'd have married that guy, you'd be at a car dealership right now. And she goes, no, if I'd have married that guy, he'd be the head coach at Alabama. And so I think that just tells you the input that Miss Terry has always had. She's always been close with the players and everybody else involved in the programs and definitely in his decision-making process.
That's fine.
All right, as for the part that Bo felt like he left out in the previous soundbite on the pivot with Nick Saban joining Ryan Clark and the gang, Saban did give his thoughts on the current landscape of college football.
The whole idea of what college used to be is not there anymore. I mean, it used to be you went to college to develop value for your future. Now people are going to college to see how much money they can make. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but you changed the whole dynamic of the importance of getting an education, making good decisions and choices about what you do and what you don't do to create value for your future. You change that whole dynamic. And the idea that these guys are free agents twice a year and they can just go wherever they want.
He's right. And I know that, you know, obviously, I think that it's almost like grandstanding for me to say I'm glad things happened the way it did for me. But, I mean, he's completely right. I think I developed so much of who I am back in college that, you know, if I'd been presented with a different set of situations the way players are now, I don't know that I would have made decisions differently than the guys do now. And I don't know that I would have come out the same way. So, it in a way, I am thankful that I was not in the portal NIL era. I know that sounds so short-sighted. People go, well, you know, you lost out on whatever financial things, you know, could have happened 15 years ago. But I just don't see it that way. I take it for what it was, and I'm not going to live in hindsight that way. But he's spot on in what he's saying there.
What was the documentary that I think it might have been 30 for 30 they did? Oh, it had to have been like 10 or 11 years ago about NBA players who had lost all of their money. And a lot of them were right out of high school, and they had and I can't remember it, but there was I think it might have been more than NBA players, but there was a lot of them were NBA players because of the straight to the NBA kind of the way it used to be, where you could you get drafted out of high school, and I just wonder if in 20 years or 30 years there's going to be a documentary done about this era of college sports. Did you find it, Dylan?
Yeah, I believe the one you're talking about was called Broke, and it did have more than NBA players on it, because I believe Andre Rison was on there as well.
Right. Yeah, but there was a former Boston Celtic that was like front and center of it, if I'm not mistaken. And I just...
Antonio Pierce?
Antonio Walker.
Antonio Walker.
Yeah, and it creates a sad story. And I know that, you know, everybody can say, well, yeah, but they've got agents. So do those NBA players. So those guys, you just wonder what they're doing for people and I see people as these players, these college athletes, women, men, whoever it is, whatever side of the sport. You know, the Cavender twins have all this money. Now, they got the elevator money, too, because their dad's, like, in the elevator business. He's loaded already. But there's all these things that you don't know what's going to happen. And to Nick's point, if you try and a guy doesn't want to hear it, he can just transfer somewhere else and make the same amount of money. I mean,
yeah, I hope there's not a documentary. And to your point about the agent thing, they do have agents. But you know, when you have an agent in the NFL, They have to be NFLPA registered. They have to be registered through a number of different outlets in order to have that title. I don't know that it's like that in college sports. I don't know what that process is. So, you know, hopefully there's a long decision.
It's not because someone mentioned it. I saw a tweet. I'll have to try to find it. But someone said a tweet about the difference between, and they had it side by side, what an NFLPA agent has to do to be certified and what a college NIL agent has to do. And it's one is like take a class. The other is literally go to law school and study for and do these things for some amount of time. And it's just.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with the listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
There's a complete difference to your point.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Nick's, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Coca-Cola, 7-Up, Dr. Pepper, and Polar Seltzer, selected varieties and sizes, buy 2 and get 3 free of equal or lesser value, plus CRV. Limit 3 free items. USDA Choice Bone-In Ribeye Steak, $7.97 per pound. Limit 2 packages. Creamy Hass Avocados, 77 cents each. Limit 4 items. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.